Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. Presented by Green Ventures Landscaping for homes and businesses that want to stand out, not blend in. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. We are talking all things Tennessee Titans. And to help us do that, we head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Nick Suss to the program from the Tennessean, who does an outstanding job covering the Tennessee Titans. Nick, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are y'all?
Awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So I guess let's start here. You know, the initial 53-man roster comes out. It feels like a feel-good story. Restrepo's on the team. And then some moves made yesterday to kind of shuffle things around. So we kind of talked about to begin the show, you know, the roster – take shape over a few days when all these players are flying around out there. But I guess what stands out to you maybe the most about the Titans roster as it currently stands with some of the decisions that have been made?
I really think the thing that stands out to me is that the NFL remains incredibly good at making us care about stuff, because we all know what just happened, right? Like, last year, the Titans put in four roster claims and made a lot of changes and all these tweaks at the roster cut day. And can you remember any of it mattering in the long run?
Sure can't.
Like, we are going to sit here and quibble about, oh, was Truman Jones better than Malik Herring? And, oh, should Restrepo have been on the active roster? Or is he better as a game day elevation once he's back on the practice squad? Or, oh, what can Nazir Stackhouse do? Or, oh, what can Terrell Burgess do that Eric Hallett couldn't have? And like
that, I mean, I stayed up all night pondering that last one, Nick. I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Fundamentally, what matters in the NFL is how good are your 40 best players. And the Titans, by my count, I kept doing this over and over again every week, projecting the roster. Every week I'd be like, there are about 42 players who are locks. Those are the people that matter. And like, I'm not sitting here saying that there's no world in which Nazir Stackhouse becomes a good player, or there's no world in which James Hudson ends up getting some reps this year. I understand that there is real value to bolstering your depth. And I think that for a Titans team that spent so much time this offseason securing its floor, and for a Titans team that's starting to refer to its floor a lot, if you listen to Robert Saleh's press conferences, it is interesting that they got rid of some of the floor-raising players. If you look at the people that raised the floor, those are the veterans like Cordell Volson, like K.J. Osborne, like Malik Herring, that were depth pieces that had played in the NFL before, and now you've replaced them with depth pieces that really haven't played in the NFL before, and I think that's interesting. But still, if the Titans are good or if the Titans are bad, it's because of the guys that are actually going to be playing a lot, and I really hope that we don't lose sight of that.
Yeah, it's and also it's like then you have the because obviously with Restrepo, Nick, like that was like, oh, well, yeah, it's a feel good story. Like he just was talking about it. He doesn't want to be on the practice squad and he's worked so hard. And then it's like, yeah, that's a quote unquote feel good story with a real potentially short shelf life. You know, now again, like you just said, it's kind of the same situation for him, right? Like if he ends up back on the, I assume you expect him to end up back on the practice squad, and it still could be a game day elevation, but it's still like you go like, you know, what a feel good story to immediately it changes up on you.
Yeah, I expect that. They left the spot empty on the practice squad, and if it's not him, again, there is value in Jerick Reed and Eric Hallett. I liked what I saw from those guys throughout the preseason, but you can also talk about how indistinguishable they were from one another and how safety is such a hard position to read. So my expectation is that Restrepo kind of lands back in the fold at some point. And look, it's a feel-good story. We like to talk about it. there's not much else we can say other than I thought he was the sixth best receiver the Titans had throughout training camp. I thought that there were clear steps forward that he'd taken as a wide receiver. I think that when we get caught up in talking about him, we as sports speculators have a very limited imagination, and we think, oh, he can't be a gunner, so he'd be terrible on special teams, and there are eight other positions on punt return other than the return man and the two gunners. So I think he probably could find a role in the middle of the field somewhere there. Like, I am not out on him being a useful player on the 53 if he's on the 53, but look, he's not on the 53. The Titans kept five receivers. We'd been warning you for weeks that it was possible that the Titans might only keep five receivers, and that's the situation they're in.
So, Nick, with the caveat that they have not played an actual regular season football game yet, which I feel like I have to make on a daily basis on this show, how do we feel about Cam Ward through training camp in the preseason, maybe now, compared to what you were thinking heading into it? Is it any different? Is it drastically different? Where do you come down on that as we enter into the regular season now?
It's drastically different to me. I don't know if other people see it the way I see it, but I'll put my two cents out there that I thought throughout training camp, what I expected Cam to be good at ended up being totally opposite from what he's been good at, which is I've been really impressed with him on timing throws, on rhythm throws, on get the ball out quick plays, on really base offense stuff, the first and second down plays, the 2-minute plays, the stuff that is very in structure. And I've been less impressed when he has been forced out of structure. And that's such a role reversal from the Cam Ward that we saw in college and the Cam Ward that we saw last year in his rookie year. I've really been encouraged by how he's taken to the quick reads of this Dable offense, how he seems to be, you know, on rhythm with his receivers, maybe not on every deep shot, on every scramble drill, but really on those 6 yards, get the first and 10 into second and 4 type plays. I've seen signs of encouragement. I've watched every single throw he made at practice all of training camp, and there were very few times where I thought, oh, that ball shouldn't have gone there. Now, there are still a lot of times where I think that could have been a better throw, and that's kind of the trade-off here of would you rather have a quarterback who's processing the field well, or would you rather have a quarterback who the ball gets where it needs to go? And still there are steps to be taken about accuracy and timing and that sort of stuff, but from just like a pure processing and understanding of the scheme perspective, I've been fairly encouraged, which is the stuff that, frankly, I thought would take a little bit longer as he adjusted to a new offense.
So, meanwhile, obviously his preseason game performances have not been good. He's been the subject of a lot of film study. I mean, maybe nitpicking isn't, you know, there's some stuff going on still with mechanics, footwork, all that stuff. Orlovsky, Kurt Warner, et cetera, et cetera. And so then you have the sort of interesting pivot from Robert Sala, you know, from, yeah, the star's going to go to, no, never mind. We had more reps and all this stuff. So it's going to be 3 weeks between game situations for Cam. How do you read that decision from Robert Saleh? Like, do you think there is any possibility that this is like shielding his young quarterback from the discourse?
Look, I will stand on a corner with a sign saying, please come punch me in the stomach before I'll watch a preseason game twice. So I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I'm tape grinding about this, but I did not understand the criticism of the second preseason game from Cam's perspective. I thought he was perfectly fine in that game. First game was rough, and there is no hiding from the fact that first game was rough, but I do think it's nitpicking when he threw 4 incomplete passes and 2 of them were drops and 1 of them seemed to be a receiver running a route too shallow. It just, the ball seemed to go where it needed to go. And in the preseason, that's kind of what I'm looking for. Now, how much of the third game was him shielding him from criticism? I think very little. I tend to think it had more to do with Robert Saleh has had finally run out of ways to pretend that these games mattered very much. And look, they got what they needed. The things you can say about this offense when the first team was out there was very few pre-snap mistakes, very few operational mistakes. If what they were going for was the ability to check plays at the line of scrimmage, to manipulate coverages, to change calls from the protections, like if that's truly what they were trying to install was the ability to adjust on the fly pre-snap, I think they got that. And look, was Cam getting a little bit of unnecessary criticism? Potentially. Was he getting some necessary criticism? I think so. But if there's one thing that we seem to understand about Cam Ward, it's that that doesn't phase him in a regular way. He's aware that people are criticizing him, but he kind of feeds on that in a abnormal way compared to some other quarterbacks. So I don't think that the Titans would necessarily try to shy away from that, but look, if there was a reason he needed to be out there, I do trust that they would have put him out there.
So, Nick, I feel like we've probably discussed the offensive line around here over the last, like, 4 or 5 years as much as, like, any period in NFL history about teams and offensive lines. Having said all that, like, I'm starting to allow myself to feel okay about this offensive line, again, not having seen them played in a regular season game yet. Are you? Like, are you getting more bullish on this offensive line than maybe you were a few weeks ago?
It's funny because you're right. We talked about it a lot. And I remember this time last year, just over and over again saying, look, the Titans just need average line play. They've been at the bottom of the league forever. They just need average line play. And if they get average line play, that unlocks this whole offense. And the Titans had average line play last year and they went 3-14. So I don't know what the Titans need up front. Fundamentally, I think that Dan Moore and J.C. Latham are, by the letter of the law, a pretty average tackle tandem, which, again, when you have gone through years of Jalen Duncan and Nicholas Petit-Frere and Andre Dillard and Dennis Daly and those guys, average is still an upgrade, and you're still good with what you're getting from average. And I think Skoronski's as good as people say he is, and Schlotman seems to be a guy they trust in the middle, and Carmona I've been impressed with. And yeah, this could be a solid group, but I think I'm saying the same thing about these guys as I'm saying about Cam Ward and as I'm saying about the running game and as I'm saying about almost every phase of this Titans team, which is I trust that they are good enough to not have the glaring hole that loses you games, but I'm still struggling to see the massive advantage that wins you games. You have raised that floor, like they said, but I don't know if the ceiling is up enough, and this is true of the offensive line, but it's really most everything on the offense. I don't know if there's enough of an advantage built in here that they're going to give you the boost in a two-minute situation to turn a one-score loss into a one-score win, but that's baby steps, right? This team was losing by a lot more than one score the last couple of years. So we'll see how much an average raised floor helps the team.
How do you feel right now, Nick, about the edge group? And I guess in particular, the young guys. I mean, Femi, I understand it was, you know, it was in the second half of a preseason game, some of it. But I thought, I mean, I did notice him the other night. And, of course, Falk has been a little banged up. But how do you assess that group right now, and those two in particular?
I think that it's a group that I feel pretty solid about the ability to get sacks and pressures collectively. I'm skeptical of the philosophical bent that getting a lot of sacks and pressures makes the whole defense work. I keep pointing to the idea that, do you know off the top of your head which NFL team led the NFL in pressure rate last year?
I do not.
It's the Dallas Cowboys, who had the worst pass defense in the NFL. So there isn't necessarily a correlation between, oh, we're going to put a lot of pressure on the quarterback, and, oh, we're going to have a great pass defense. I also think that if you look at the best of the best, the all-pro edge rushers, I think in the last 10 years or so, it's something like 16 out of 17 or 13 out of 14. I can't remember the exact numbers, but all but one of them have been former top 20 pick type guys. Like, we know that in order to find the Myles Garretts of the world, the Will Andersons of the world, Aiden Hutchinson, Von Miller, Micah Parsons, I can name them all. for the most part, you're going to have to find them very, very early in the draft. And there's no turning Femi Oladejo or Keldrick Falk or any of these guys into Myles Garrett, because if they were Myles Garrett, they would have been picked first overall. With all those caveats aside, I do think that this defense and this defensive scheme is very favorable to these types of players. I think that Femi, especially in the run game, looks like a handful right now. I think that Falk, when he gets healthy, is somebody who I wouldn't be shocked if he starts taking regular, what we would call starting reps in this rotation pretty early on. I think that Jacob Martin probably could have a year comparable to what we saw from Jahad Ward and Draymond Jones last year as the veteran who comes in and gets six sacks or so and ends up changing the dynamic a little bit. Obviously, Jeffrey Simmons and John Franklin Myers are going to make the pass rush go. They're going to be the engines, but I don't know. I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be productive. But last year's Titans pass rush was fairly productive. I think they ended up 10th or 11th in the NFL in pressure rate and got some sacks. And Jeffrey Simmons was the one that made that go too. And the team still wasn't very good. So I do think that it's very important. And I do think that it will be effective. But I think that if the issues in the secondary don't get resolved, then this might end up being a moot conversation.
Well, Nick, great stuff as always. Go ahead and continue to prepare for the game that is going to define all of humanity, and that is the Titans and the Jets coming up here in the regular season opener. We'll talk to you soon, and enjoy yourself this week, my man.
Yeah, appreciate y'all.
Absolutely. Nick Suss from the Tennessean does a great job covering the Tennessee Titans. We'll react to what Nick had to say. Take your thoughts on the Titans. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Got some tickets to give away. A pair of tickets to see MTSU as they take on Murray State at Floyd Stadium this Saturday at 6 o'clock. Couple of tickets to give away. You will win two tickets if you are caller number three at 615-737-1025. Call the three, we'll win. A pair of tickets to see MTSU against Murray State at Floyd Stadium coming up this Saturday at 6 o'clock. Appreciate Nick Suss for being with us in the last segment. Nick Suss joins my non-enthusiasm for the preseason Joe Rex Road, so I appreciate that. It is interesting, like the kind of the way he described it there, of feel pretty good about raising the floor. Have they done much of anything to raise the ceiling? It was an interesting thought exercise that I think Nick Suss put us through there.
Yeah, and a good way to think about the offensive line, like, well, you know, like, are they to the point of helping you win? Now, again, I do think that if the skill around Cam is improved as we think it is, you know, Gunnar Helmand his second year, Tony Pollard looks good. I mean, again, it's just a preseason glimpse, but I think he's going to have a good year. I think there's tread on the tires. Carnell Tate, obviously, like the receiving core, I think is definitely the most talented top-to-bottom receiving core they've had in a while. So if those things are all true, and then the most important thing is Cam plays well, then I think the offensive line could be fine enough, decent enough to not get in the way of that, right? I mean, it all goes together. But, yeah, I mean, I very much appreciate it is amazing. I think to our credit, you know, I think in the past we talked about the 53 a lot, but some of it was just making fun of my predictions about the 53 when I was writing about that, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, we haven't spent a lot of time on it, and it really is so, so trivial in the big picture.
It just doesn't matter, yeah.
Like, look, I am interested to see, like Hendon Hooker, there's an interest in him, obviously, from Tennessee fans, so I'm interested in him and seeing, like, does he actually get to stick as the practice squad quarterback? I don't think it's a terrible thing for Hendon Hooker to be your practice squad quarterback. I think, especially some weeks, he can give you a really good look. But maybe they'll upgrade. And people are – I mean, the reaction on the Restrepo thing, there are some Titans fans who are like this guy. I saw a Titans fan had a tweet. It was like, the next Wes Welker and the Titans are screwing him over. Someone else is going to pick him up. He's not going to get to the practice squad, and you're going to regret this for the rest of your life. I mean, I'm like paraphrasing, but seriously, it's close to that dramatic, like with what some people think about Xavier Restrepo, and it just boggles my mind. Not to rip him. He's improved. He's worked hard. He's a very good college player, but, like, guys, The stuff doesn't matter. Whether he's on or off, he's not playing unless multiple people get hurt.
That's the thing. Like, I want my receivers staying healthy, right? So I want to see as much of Carnell Tate as humanly possible this year. I want Io Manor to prove that the step that it appears that he's taken in camp can now translate to the regular season. I'd love for Calvin Ridley to stay healthy this year, Joe. I don't know how realistic all that stuff is that I just laid out there, but I'd love for Ridley to stay healthy and for the Titans to have some actual depth at wide receiver. And not just depth, some quality play. Like, it's been a while since they've had a quality room. It feels like they might have a quality room this year. So that'd be great to see for a season.
Exactly. So, and I thought Nick had interesting thoughts on Cam too. And I generally agree. Like there is a huge difference between the first preseason game and the second preseason game, right? Like the second didn't do enough to offset the first in a lot of people's minds. But I said it the day after. I was like, I didn't have a problem with Cam last night. I mean, it was fine. You know, like you want to be a little bit more precise, and Carnell Tate still catch it. And, you know, maybe don't put Helm in the position he was on the sideline if you can. But, you know, there were some good throws in there, a couple bad ones. It was fine. And I would also tend, like, going back to the conversation we had a lot yesterday, I mean, I tend to agree. It's like, I just like if them being fearful or like feeling like they have to shield him, that would be one alarming, and it would be surprising too, because I don't think that's I think the concern is just can you go out there and do the job well enough. I don't think he struggled to handle the outside stuff. It doesn't seem like it.
Well, I can't wait to like the 8-part docuseries that Warner is going to put together on Ward's tape. You know, like 50 minutes at a time. Is this going to be a weekly thing? Just get Kurt Warner breaking down Cam Ward's film every week.
I don't know. Does he do, like, I'm really asking seriously, like, does he do a lot of these with different quarterbacks?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I doubt it's going to be, he probably won't do Ward again, at least for a little while. But I'd like to see it, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
here's an hour invested every week in watching Kurt Warner talk about Cam Ward's footwork.
There's a lot. I mean, there's a lot out there if you want to find it. And again, including the guy who is telling everybody they're idiots, and he's really good. So you can find a variety of takes.
Get your rookie cards here.
That's right. Exactly.
Get your rookie cards. All right, we'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans. And we're going to find out if Joe Rexroad at some point in the next segment is prepared to pick a winner in the competition for the Robbie and Rexroad Fantasy Football last spot. And the slogans have been coming in fiercely on the text line, on the YouTube chat, people making that final push. Rexroad will make a decision coming up next. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5 The Game, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, broadcasting from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. There is great anticipation on the text line for our last fantasy football spot. We will get into that a little bit later in the segment, so stay tuned for that. But Rexroad, how are we feeling, Joe? I mean, we're not going to pick the winner quite yet here in just a few minutes, but are you feeling confident? Have you made a decision yet? Are you still weighing options? How are we feeling?
Excuse me. I think I've got a decision that I do. There are a few new ones I want to read, give some shout outs. But yeah, I think I have a decision.
Okay. We'll get into that here in just a few minutes. Taking more of your thoughts on the Titans. One quick thing on the Ward front that actually, after listening to Sus, I guess made me feel a little bit better. He was talking about like all the timing routes and all the instructor stuff that he feels pretty good about with Cam, having watched him all preseason / training camp long. I mean, that's still the majority of what he's going to have to do at the quarterback position. So I don't know, Joe. I felt a little bit better about Cam after listening to Sus describe that.
Yeah, and it is interesting, right? It's like that kind of goes with, there's been a little bit of talk. Karski was talking about a little bit, like the quick game stuff, you know, check down stuff. Is it quick game? Some things are quick game. Some things are like checking down quickly because you know whatever, you're coming off your first read or whatever and you're quickly checking down. But regardless, ball out fast, timing, all that stuff. I mean, I think that is good to have that. You think about Cam, you think about the extending plays, and he still has done that some too. You just want that right balance of staying ahead of the chains for the most part, putting yourself in advantageous situations and third and shorts and all that, but then also being able to make some of those plays. But as we've talked about before, Robbie, also, like, can you use the middle of the field more? Can you get more intermediate stuff going with the passing game? As opposed to sometimes it just feels a little bit like you got the, you know, quick swing pass, you know, you quick slant to your slot guy or whatever, or you're throwing a fade. But is there more you can do with the tight end, with the middle of the field? But, you know, also that gets into, we have seen base stuff in preseason games. So Brian Daboll comes into play big time now, the first time we actually watch them play real football.
One thing I have been thinking about as far as Ward goes, this is his second year, but he's got a new system now, a new OC. You know, Levis kind of did the same thing. He came in second year. Callahan came in, new system. I worry for Ward early on, even though we think Daboll is an upgrade over Callahan and the whole offensive system. You know, it's a new terminology, new everything. He's had the whole preseason and everything, so it seems like he's doing okay. But I do wonder if there's going to be some early growing pains there, as almost like, hey, he's not quite a rookie yet, but he's getting a new NFL offensive system, a complex one, with a new OC, new terminology, new huddle, new wording, new everything. I don't know. How long do we think is fair for like an early season ramp up?
I'll add something to that, Ian. It's a new, and people probably don't think about this a lot, it's a new center too. So you're trying to get used to that partnership, and he's got to call out everything he's seeing. And I don't know. You're right. It's a lot of new.
Yeah, no, for sure. And
I know he's not a rookie, and don't want to make excuses like that, but I wonder if there's going to be some adjustment period.
Well, and this is, look, this is, I mean, this is the Earhart Perkins system, which, you know, I mean, it's, you know, these offensive systems, I mean, a lot of it just comes down to, like, terminology and stuff, but there's, like, the terminology and the expectation of the quarterback at the line of scrimmage is higher with this offense than some. I would say that there's more on a quarterback's plate in this offense. I think this is a universally known truth than like QBs and like the, you know, like the new Shanahan stuff that's obviously very, very popular around the league. So that's something too. Now you also hope that Daboll, I mean, it's week to week, it's game planning, it's a specific catalog of plays for that opponent, right? So you would hope that because of that and after this entire offseason of learning the offense that Cam would be ready. And I think he'll be ready, but I think you're right, Ian, that like you probably expect some swimming that maybe happens in September that you hope isn't anymore in, you know, whatever, October or September. Yeah, I mean, I have no idea what the timeline is, but I'm sure some of it gets easier as you play some actual football games.
That didn't do us a whole lot of good for the Jets game, Joe.
Well,
it does a whole lot of good.
That's part of why it's good to play the Jets first, right? In theory.
Maybe. Or could be very bad.
Yeah, or maybe it's the worst possible thing that could happen.
It could be completely horrific. Yeah. We'll find out here in just a few days. Joe, are you ready to select our final winner in the 2026 version of the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League?
I am. Now, we still have submissions coming in. I shout out to Gover, who said, Robbie and Rex Road, take the Creed. I mean, people appreciate all the participation. David from Murfreesboro, Robbie and Rex Road, covering the spread for Tennessee Sports. Some of the new ones that we got since the round, I just want to throw a few of them out there. Joey from Gallatin, Robbie and Rex Road with arms wide open. Robbie and Rex Road, the scabies of talk radio. I mean, nice. Tyler's got – now, Tyler, now this is a long-time listener, clearly. Tyler, loving Fouts and hating gout. How about that? Robbie and Rex Road, it just sounds right. Sports deficient, gout efficient. Robbie and Rex Road, we gout you. Vincent and Dixon said, Robbie and Rex Road, sure, why not? Robbie and Rexroad killing you softly with their voice. That's a beautiful one. Tyus has Robbie and Rex Show. Sports talk for the discerning moron. Sean has Robbie and Rex Show. We talk about ass. So I like all that. But here's my finalists, okay?
Okay.
And I'll get to the winner here. But the finalists. This might be my second place here. Paul, Robbie and Rex Road, the show abides. Nice. I mean, I'm sorry, like you gotta get that. But I mean, I was like, yeah, that's pretty freaking good. Other finalists. Robbie and Rex Road, your second favorite pair of nuts. Robbie and Rex Road, greatest farting show on earth. Robbie and Rex Road, where dads decompress. I like that one from Justin. I gotta give Liam a shout out from Buns to Cheek, Sports at the Crack of Dawn. Because, you know, stuff like that is, of course, going to be, like, super high on my list. And I got to give Ed a shout-out with where bad takes can be washed down with loose mints. But I came down to two finalists, Robbie. And
okay.
I didn't lay it out this way as an expectation. And I'm glad I didn't, because then we would have gotten way more. And we already got $10 million. But Jeff from Nebraska and Dennis both had a bunch of submissions that were good. And ultimately, I'm like, you know, if you're coming with that much quality over the duration of the show, I think that counts for something, right? Jeff's included. Sure. We'll take your call to the 17-minute tangent because apparently silent wasn't an option. Your daily reminder the Titans still exist. Eventually we'll talk about sports. Robbie and Rex Show, keeping Nashville optimistic against all available evidence. All great stuff from Jeff from Nebraska. Now here's Dennis. Robbie and Rex Show, it's too early for this bleep. Robbie and Rex Road, sports talk in the 6-9 position. Robbie and Rex Road, 3 hours in a cloud of dust. Robbie and Rex Road, an accident waiting to happen. And finally, Robbie and Rex Road, audible idiocy. Dennis is our winner.
Nice. And
listen, this would probably be, had we paid Dennis a single red cent for his graphic illustrations, this would probably be not allowed. He'd be like an employee, right? But probably. We have never paid him one freaking penny for those. And so I thought that the collection of what he had rose to the top. Congrats to Dennis.
You know what the best part about this is for me? If you're mad about it, you can direct your ire towards Rex Road. I had nothing to do with the decision-making process.
Yeah, no, yeah. Thanks for pointing that out. I appreciate that. Yep. Everybody get mad at me. It's fine. I'm used to it.
Yeah, just send in your text to Rex Road if you take issue with this selection process. Congratulations to Dennis, who has won the final spot in the 2026 Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. In all seriousness, we are kind of blown away every year that we do this about like the interest level in it. People really love this thing. So appreciate that. Appreciate everybody trying to get in. I wish that we could do like, you know, 75 leagues and get everybody in, but it's just not possible. But we appreciate everybody's interest in it, and keep them coming. Well, you know, some people this year have won, Joe, and they've been trying to get in the league for like 5 years, and they finally got in there. So just persistence is part of this.
Absolutely. No, appreciate all the participation and the interest. Very much appreciate the creative use of gout. I mean, you know, gout did not end up winning the day, but gout really – really made an impact today on all of us, yes. I think.
No doubt. Let's quickly welcome in Neil to the program. Neil, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing this morning?
Good, buddy.
It really should be Robbie and Rex Road. At least it's not celebrity birthdays.
Oh!
There you go. Not Big Joe.
Shots fired, Big Joe.
No, I like Joe and Chase. That was just a joke. But, I just got in my car and I heard talking about, you know, new systems and stuff. I don't think care what systems a quarterback runs. If you're not accurate with the football, you're not going to look good in any system. So I think, you know, you look at a quarterback like Tom Brady, even though I do think that last year with Bruce Arians at Tampa, I think he stopped throwing the ball down the field because they were losing games. But that's just I think he got rid of Arians in Tampa Bay because he didn't like his offense. But now you put a regular good quarterback in a system, he's going to make it work. Cam's not accurate. If you can't throw a ball 10 yards down the field accurate, or you can't learn to take fastballs, take a little bit of speed off of short passes, no system that you run will look good. So, I mean, this all goes down to, can the quarterback get the ball to the wide receiver and be accurate? That's the quarterback's job. So until he can fix his mechanics and his footwork, he can run the Bruce Arians almighty dynamic no risk it, no biscuit offense. And if you can't throw that ball, you can't make the plays. So I don't think it's the system that has anything to do with him not looking good. I just don't think he's a good quarterback. That's it. That's how I feel about it. You know, good luck to Levis. Hopefully, you know, he can get his mayonnaise and his coffee somewhere, and I hope that he gets a good opportunity to sit behind somebody. But I really think that I'm glad that the Raiders have Mendoza sit behind Kirk Cousins, because I think that we're trying to rush these young quarterbacks out without them getting a real chance to sit down and learn good mechanics and learn good offenses. So that's the way I feel. I think that if Cam Moore could have sat down for a year, it might have benefited him even more. But, hey, man, I hope y'all have an amazing day, and please don't ever do celebrity birthdays. Love you guys.
Thank you, Neil. Appreciate it. We'll react to a bunch of your thoughts on the Titans. People are mad at Joe on the text line, which is awesome. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Congratulations to Dennis on winning the final spot in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. Generally, people taking it well on the text line, on the YouTube chat, Joe. So I don't think you've made too many enemies today. I will say Jeff in Nebraska, not your biggest fan at the moment.
Hey, he's just said it's the worst day of his life, so I feel bad about that. Hey, runner up, man. That's really good. I guess we should actually pick what is of those winners the slogan. I think it's I either like 3 hours in a cloud of dust, or it's too early for this bleep. Or audible idiocy, though. Or an accident waiting to happen. I don't know. What do you think?
Do we need to, do we need to voice something to put this as officially a part of the show?
Maybe. Robbie and Rex Road, it's too early for this.
There you go, Ian. Clip it.
Hey, everybody. Robbie and Rex Road, 3 hours in a cloud of dust. Yeah, so sorry, Justin also had a
Rex Road was in charge. He's born to do this.
Yeah. Got a beautiful voice. But Justin also had a bunch of good ones, like Radio's Last Hope. Somehow it just works. Where's my AOL disc?
Where, I was a fan of Somehow It Just Works. You know, somehow these idiots are still around.
Yeah, where rust meets thrust. I still don't know what that means, but it rhymes, so kudos.
Yeah, nice job.
I did want to hit on Neil's point there. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. I mean, I think he's absolutely right. Like, of course, like – Yeah, you can talk system and all this stuff, and it's like, here's a throw, make the throw. Here it is. In any system, in any offense, like, you need to go ahead and hit this one right here. And, oh, where'd that ball go? I mean, that's totally independent of system. What I asked yesterday, and I don't know the answer, and, I mean, frankly, Titans fans need to hope this is a significant part of it is, again, comfort in everything, mental processing, everything's in good shape, and you really feel like you're in command of what you're doing and what the defense is doing. And then how much does that help making the layups? How much does, if you can get there, if you can continue to grow mentally, which is obviously a massive part of this game and this position in particular, how much does that help? Maybe not as much as it needs to help, but I do think that that's where some of the concerns about accuracy, like, you do have to keep in mind that it could be more complex than just, oh my God, Nuclear Loose just hit the mascot in the face.
Yeah. You know, knowing where to go with the ball, knowing what you're seeing in front of you defensively. I mean, you would think there's a comfort level that sits in there. I mean, I do agree with Neil that, you know, the footwork eventually is going to have to settle in here. And that's where it gets so hard, because you can work on it, and then you get in an actual game setting. When does it click, right? You know, does it click? For some people, it doesn't, right? Like, you know, quarterbacks coming in the league, Joe, people work on mechanics with these quarterbacks all the time, and the bottom line is sometimes when you get in a game setting, people just can't fix it. And in some ways, it's like a golf swing. Like, you get on the range, and you work on it, and then you get out there and you're playing golf and you just fall back into some bad habits. It's kind of the same thing with a quarterback. Like, you know, you can work on it a lot, but some people just can't fix it in a game setting. Hopefully Ward is one of those who can, and that leads to him being more accurate.
Yeah. And he's had good games. I think, you know, I don't know, throw by throw, I don't know. I'm sure you can go back to any game film from last year and you'll find a few strays, you know. But he had some good games last year. He had some bad ones. Yep. So, I mean, he has seen that. You know, he's been in those situations. I don't think it's, like, too big for him. But, yeah, the you work so hard on mechanics, especially if you have to change your mechanics, right? And then that's to me is like makes it so much more likely that you would revert. If you have to really change some things to get that consistency, and then when you're being chased, I mean, that's got to be really hard to not revert in some cases.
Picked Vanderbilt to go 7-5 today, Tennessee to go 9-3. People are very upset about that, so keep those coming throughout the day. But, you know, I stand by it, Joe. I'm somewhat stunned that we both had the same record, but, you know, that's what two great minds think alike, like this show.
Yeah, I mean, we had the same record. We had the exact same outcome for Vanderbilt. We had a slight difference in how Tennessee would get to there. But Adam Sparks and I both picking the Gamecocks to beat the Vols this year. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Public enemy number one. Public enemy number one.
I now fear the reaction if this happens, and I will not be showing up that Monday if it does happen. I want you to know right now.
I am out the rest of the week. Kuharski in there tomorrow. So, Joe, have a good rest of your week. We'll see you next week.
Oh, goody. 3 hours of Kuharski.
Congrats. That does it for us today. Next man up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.